The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
The SB Nation NFL show is on the clock, and we have the 2021 NFL draft covered from every angle. I am your host, Michael Kist, and we got a banger for you today as we're going to have a delicious and thirst-quenching six-pack of takes stemming from the NFL draft and the impact that it has on the fantasy landscape. To help me do that, I am pleased to be joined by Kate Majuk of DK Nation, a.k.a. Clairvoyant Kate. Follow her on Twitter at FFBallBlast. Kate, how are we doing today?
I am doing good. I'm still processing the NFL draft, but how fun to talk about real football and have real things to talk about. And we're not just making stuff up off the top of our heads anymore. We can actually try to begin our analysis on the coming season, and I'm excited to do that.
I'm thrilled for that because it was getting real dark on the timeline in those last couple of weeks. You could tell people were frayed, people that are normally just like rock steady, just losing their minds a little bit on the timeline as we like inched closer to the NFL draft. But that's over with. And look, before we get into the show, a quick reminder to you, gentle listener, please subscribe, rate, and review. It helps most when you do that in Apple Podcasts, but whatever your favorite podcast app is, make sure you're following along so you don't miss a thing. Also, we'd love to shout out our gentle listeners and their written reviews from Apple Pods. So if you have a question or a comment, leave it in there, and one of our all-star hosts here at the SB Nation NFL show will discuss it on air. And hey, tell your friends to join in and listen with you. We're building something really dope here, and we'd love to get as many ears on it as possible. So enough of that. The 2021 NFL draft is almost a week old, and it is such a tsunami of news that there's still plenty to cover and uncover. So Kate, let's get involved with the meat and potatoes of the show here today, which again is going to be our six pack of takes from Kate on the NFL draft and how it affects the fantasy world. And first up, I need to get something off my chest before we really, really dig in, because I have a quick take of my own, and it's more of a gripe probably because it really grinds my gears. And Kate, I don't know where you stand on this or if you've seen it as much as I have, but I absolutely abhor the trend of tweeting that is either showing a four square of four offensive players, or like listing all the playmakers a team has on their offense and like asking the question, who can stop this offense? And like every variant that we see of that therein. And I'll give an example. A couple of days ago, the PFF Eagles account did this four square of pictures with that same question. And the players are Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders, Devonta Smith, and Jalen Reagor. Now let's talk about that one by one. Why would we say who can stop this offense? Because Jalen Hurts, for my money, like I like Jalen Hurts, but like my confidence in him being a franchise quarterback is probably at a 3 out of 10 right now. Like there are major steps for him to take before I consider him a franchise quarterback, even a replacement level starter. So there's plenty of room for him to grow, but there's that the reason for that is he has a while to go, and hopefully, you know, Nick Sirianni can get them there. But let's go to the second person, Miles Sanders. Okay, Miles has some juice, right? Like people in Philly love him. I think they overvalue him a little bit. Like he's capable of some big runs, and you know, his yards per carry last year, really good at 5.3. But like, let's also consider per PFF. By the way, PFF tweeted this out. Per PFF, second highest drop rate among running backs in the league last year. if you really have a potent offense and you have a potent running back, he needs to be involved in the passing game. Miles Sanders was awful, god awful in the passing game, much
and
less effective than he was.
The draft pick of Kenny Gainwell there, which was a pretty smart pick, maybe not for fantasy managers. Fantasy managers are not going to like the Kenny Gainwell pick, but if you're looking for a running back to get involved as a receiver, it's really hard to do better than that.
Yeah, and that's what Nick Sirianni is also looking for in his running backs. And just like Doug Peterson, Sirianni wants a running back by committee approach. So, okay, let's go to the third person. DeVonta Smith, right? They traded up for him. They got to 10. They got the guy they wanted. They poached him for the New York Giants. There was a bunch of stories about that. Okay, cool. I love DeVonta. I am not going to talk smack about him. Yeah, he's a little bit light. But like every player that he goes up against in the SEC is like, this guy is the best player that I've played against. Like, I'm really high on DeVonta. Here's the thing. He has zero catches in the NFL. He was the third wide receiver selected. So what do we have to go on there? Because over half of these guys in the first round, and I don't mean to be negative, but it's just a reality, over half of these guys in the first round are going to bust. It's just the way it is. We have no idea who can or can't stop him. And lastly, Jalen Reagor, get out of here with that. Because he was a ghost last year, and he showed effort issues. And he, like, honestly, like, who outside of Philly is really talking about Jalen Reagor? Kate, you track the fantasy stuff. Is Jalen Reagor like this hot fantasy commodity that people are saying that we're sleeping on?
No. And I mean, Jalen Reagor coming into the 2020 season was a name that everybody was very well hyped for, liked him out of school. But I mean, he literally did disappear in an offense where there was a lot of room for a playmaker, not necessarily like the ideal recipe there for to have talent emerge, but there was an opportunity for somebody to take over that role as a wide receiver one. And I mean, he was impactless.
Yeah. 31 receptions, 396 yards, and one touchdown. And I'm not saying the jury is out on Jalen Reagor, but when you put all these four pieces together, what do you have?
Clicks,
exactly. I would argue a lot of people can stop this offense. Here's where I'm at with the Eagles offense right now. And I'm sorry for hogging this early portion of the show, Kate, but it just bugs me so much. But with the Eagles being what? I think the 26th points per game scoring offense in the NFL last year. If they were to get to around league average, right, anywhere from like 14 to 18, I think that is a great sign for multiple reasons that there's reason to be hopeful moving forward for the Eagles offense. I think that is a realistic expectation. A realistic expectation is not saying, man, I think only a couple of defenses can stop this offense. You have no freaking clue. All right. That is my rant on these stupid tweets that are out there.
You have to hit the monthly goal for engagements on your Twitter account. So that's my take, because yes, any of these Eagles, I'm sorry, I get that they're trying to make some moves to put them in a better spot, and hopefully Nick Sirianni can do that. But you're right. What have we seen that will indicate to us that they're really going to take the next step? We've seen nothing concrete there.
Exactly. And the first team that we're going to talk about, your first take, has to do with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm wondering if you get like the same feeling when you see that lineup, because they have some playmakers. Like, I really like a lot of the talent they have there. Is Big Ben's top half of his body going to stay connected to the second half of his body throughout the course of the 2021 NFL season? I don't know. So when you make that list, Kate, do you get the same feeling that I do? Like, I don't know if it's all that great.
You know, I actually don't. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, despite the questions on offense and the way that everything fell apart in the second half of the season, they're still really productive from a fantasy football standpoint. And I mean, my God, when you look at the number of options, if you just draft a straight line of Steelers in, let's say, a best ball league, you're probably going to score a lot of points by year's end. And I think you're going to find yourself pretty happy. But yeah, my first take here, it does involve a Pittsburgh Steeler. I want to talk about Najee Harris, and I'm going to make my bold claim here. This is going to be a mix of bold claims and just general
analysis and
general analysis. But my bold take is that Najee Harris is going to outperform all second-year running backs, that includes the Cam Akers of the world, the J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift's, Antonio Gibson's, who are all being drafted very highly when you look at mock drafts, when you look at dynasty startup drafts. All of these guys are just going so, so early. Najee Harris, goodness gracious, we're all fading Najee Harris because of Pittsburgh's offensive line. I don't think we should be doing that. Najee Harris is a mother stinking beast. He is just an absolute beast. Even looking back to the 2020 season, I know we all remember James Conner as garbage, but when you actually look back at what James Conner accomplished, in games where he played over 60% of the snaps, he was averaging 17.5 touches per game. And those games that he wasn't playing more than 60% of the snaps, the bulk of that time, he was banged up on and off the field with injuries. He would come out, get tended to on the sideline, blue medical tent, all that. Scored a touchdown in 6 of 10 games where he had more than 60% of the snaps. I mean, Najee Harris is set to be an absolute force, and he's going to be a workhorse, like, without question. Never had fewer than 6 yards per touch in his NCAA career. I think he's just gonna knock it out of the park in Pittsburgh. And you know what, if we're sticking to the narrative that Ben will continue to throw the ball, you know, five yards down the field every single time, what a perfect outlet it would be for a guy like Najee Harris to just take it to the house. He don't need no offensive line when you can hurdle all of these grown men. I just think Najee Harris, everybody's sleeping. And, you know, they did add a couple of pieces, Kendrick Green and Pat Freiermuth. They are, I think, going to be impact players in the blocking scheme from day one. Don't sleep.
I love it. Yeah, and look, almost 2,000 yards from scrimmage last year alone, 1,500 the year before, right? 43 catches, 425 yards, 4 touchdowns in the receiving game as a Crimson Tide member there. And he's great in pass pro. You don't have to take him off the field on third down, which is huge, and I agree. The depth of target that we're going to see Big Ben really throw the ball to is perfect for Najee Harris. And getting him in space, yeah, absolutely. So I'm big on him. I really like him. And we can argue and debate, and people will on Twitter all day, about the value of a running back in round one. But I really do think that he is going to be very, very productive and an important piece of that offense for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
They love what's interesting workhorse. Najee is that, like, that is the definition of Najee Harris's workhorse.
Yeah. And Tomlin, obviously is in love with him. Like, everybody and their mother was mocking Najee Harris to the Steelers, and I think there was a reason why. It was very apparent that Tomlin was in love with this dude. And we had an interesting thing happen when we were streaming live for the SB Nation NFL show during the 2021 NFL draft. Kate, not only were you on with us, but when the Steelers made their pick and you had left to do your ritual with your wife, we had on Jeff Hartman of Behind the Steel Curtain to break down the pick. And then while that was going on, Rob Stats Guerrera, our host, brought in two fellas from Baltimore Beatdown to get their thoughts on the pick and try to create some tension, some debate between Jeff Hartman, Behind the Steel Curtain, and Baltimore Beatdown, and our guy Jake Luck and Spencer Schultz from Baltimore Beatdown. So let's throw it to a clip of that audio and hear them break it down live.
Okay. Let's bring in a couple of people from your division rival, the Baltimore Ravens. Gosh, let's bring in Jake Luke and Spencer Schultz from Baltimore Beatdown.
Two guys?
That's right. We're outnumbering you. One of the ways I like to judge moves is how other teams in the division think about them. Jake, I'll start with you. What do you think when I tell you that the Pittsburgh Steelers went Najee Harris running back round one?
You know, you think about like all the stigma with taking a running back that early, but you're talking about taking a very good player. And I don't know. It's interesting because you take Patrick Queen last year for the Ravens in the first round. It feels like that's something that can maybe counteract it a little bit. And it's a devalued position. I think we were having discussions on our own stream. I was probably, to be honest, a little bit hopeful the Steelers were going to do this. So it is what it is, but he's still a very good player. I'm not going to take that away from him. I'm not going to take that away from Jeff here. So it is what it is. You know, I'm intrigued at the very least. And the value is what it is. And you kind of got to do what you got to do if you're the Steelers, you know?
Spencer, what do you think?
Mike Tomlin loves Najee Harris. Is there any doubt about that in this entire world? Is there any doubt about that, fellas? Let's be honest here. you're getting a tone setter, you're getting a hard worker, you're getting a five star, and Mike Tomlin is going to love him. I'm excited. I get goosebumps. I love Najee Harris. He's my number one back.
We were on here before on our stream earlier, and he was freaking out about how much he didn't like it because he loves Najee Harris. He's been talking about it for months. That's his guy. So I can back him up on that.
That's my hardcore RB1. I think that he does everything but have a Saquon Barkley breakaway speed, and I think it makes him better because he knows he has to make you miss. He has that spatial awareness. He has that vision, and I think they're getting a heck of a player. But at the end of the day, it's hard to justify where the Steelers' line is right now and then taking Najee Harris. So they have to be confident they can go get linemen in the later rounds.
And we're back. I mean, it turns out everyone is a fan of Najee Harris. So great pick by the Steelers there, or pick by you, Kate, to say that he's going to outperform the second-year running backs. I really like that take. Let's go to your second take, because we have a guy that was selected third round, 67th overall, but may start at the quarterback position for an NFL team. Tell me about it, Kate. Who is it?
I want to talk about Davis Mills, quarterback drafted to the Houston Texans. I still can hear Rich Eisen screaming, like, what does this mean? If anybody was watching the live NFL broadcast, you will remember what I'm talking about, because I literally just hear him screaming that in my nightmares every single night. What does this mean? Because he freaked out. No, we know what this means. The Houston Texans are making a contingency plan. Davis Mills out of Stanford, of course, didn't face, you know, necessarily the toughest competition. But among quarterbacks with at least 200 dropbacks in the 2020 season in the NCAA, ranked 9th in adjusted completion percentage, 11th in big time throw rate. So that's, you know, big throws down the field, throws into a tight pocket. He's got third round draft capital. And you know what? Like, let's be honest, that was their first pick. So yes, that is essentially first round draft capital for the Houston Texans. But I think regardless of how you see this situation in Houston shaking out, whether or not you think Deshaun Watson stays with the team, I think regardless of that, we can expect that he's probably not going to be on any football field in 2020, regardless of what roster he is with. So throw Deshaun Watson out of the mix. Who's he competing with? Tyrod Taylor, the perennial backup. Tyrod Taylor, really solid quarterback, but I do think that, I mean, you're going to have to get to the point. We already know what Tyrod Taylor is. We have known what Tyrod Taylor is for a long time. You're going to have to get to the point where you see what Davis Mills could be. His coaches at Stanford, of course, speak very highly of him. They feel like he's ready as a decision maker in the NFL. And I mean, look, and you know, some of these two quarterback fantasy leagues, Davis Mills is still being drafted pretty darn late. I've grabbed him in the third round of two quarterback leagues in my rookie drafts. That's bonkers. And that's crazy value, because any starting quarterback usually, unless they're pure garbage, will find some sort of success. I think he's worth a late round flyer there.
Davis Mills. I mean, I watched the guy and I had a hard time seeing what the appeal was. But then like every now and then he would make like a throw and you're like, okay, I guess I see what NFL teams are seeing here and making him draftable. It's just a matter of consistency and doing it all the time. I someone had mentioned like, I see Andrew Luck when I watch him. Like, I don't
see that. But right. Like he can make some big plays. All of his, part of his strength has been, you know, sort of how quickly he's able to process and make a decision. Mm-hmm. It's not always the right decision, but I think the tools are there. Will he have a super high fantasy ceiling? No, but in these sort of leagues where, I mean, gosh, week three, a quarterback goes down, and you're spending 100% of your fab money on the backup. Like, yeah, I want Davis Mills on my team in all of those situations. I'll take him every single time.
There's a quote from The Sopranos. I'm paraphrasing, but like Tony Soprano had a big decision to make in his consigliere. So it was like, look, doesn't matter if it's the right decision or the wrong decision, just make a decision because it needs to happen. So that's what Davis Mills is about as a quarterback. Let's switch. We'll stay in the AFC, but let's switch divisions here. We're going to talk about the Chargers here, because they drafted two guys one running back, one wide receiver. I believe, what was it, third and sixth round respectively there. Kate, you think there's a lot of potential there to get some steals, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a huge, huge fan of both of these picks. And I think that these are two picks that are being really undervalued, at least in the rookie drafts that I'm participating in right now for Dynasty Leagues. Josh Palmer, third round draft capital, he's 6'1", 210, played at Tennessee. Looking at his stats, he never had a season that popped, never exceeded 484 receiving yards. So like the analytics crowd, you're not going to be super happy with that. You didn't get that early domination that we know is, can be so predictive of success at the NFL level. But let's look at the opportunity that he could have. His strength was playing on the outside. Mike Williams is probably set to leave the team in 2022. They did pick up his fifth round option, but he is at the end of his rookie contract. And I don't know that he's necessarily done enough as they look to, you know, continue to build a new team around Justin Herbert. I'm not 100% sure that he's going to remain with the team. And if he doesn't, Josh Palmer is really an instant fit right in that spot. He's got NFL size. He's got not necessarily the yardage production to back it up, but his tape shows him as a physical receiver that kind of reminds me of Mike Williams a little bit. So, you know, they shored up the offensive line. You're going to give Justin Herbert some time to throw. And I think him and Josh Palmer are going to be set to connect in the future comings. And then Larry Roundtree, let's talk about him. Sixth round running back out of Missouri, 5'10", 209. That's, you know, the perfect mix of height and weight there for an NFL running back. Prototypical size. He's got some nice burst. Not a huge receiver. He's also kind of got some small hands. But, I mean, let's look at the rest of the Los Angeles Chargers running back core and tell me he could not be instantly slated in for a first or second down role while you continue to have Austin Eckler sort of filling in that workhorse role, which I think he's capable of. I mean, Kalen Ballage and Joshua Kelly, they combined for 200 rushing attempts last season. Neither of them averaged higher than 3.3 yards per attempt, only scored 5 touchdowns. Combined on those touches, just 650 yards together. But they did see plenty of red zone carries. Austin Eckler saw 2 on the season, while Kalen Ballage and Joshua Kelly combined for 15 red zone or end zone carries. I just think that Larry Roundtree might be one of those guys that comes out of nowhere and actually gets some touches and gets reps because, I mean, the line of people behind him is very few and far between. He could be an instant lock for maybe some early touchdown production that kind of comes out of left field.
And when you look at the Chargers and their history, especially with injuries, I mean, in 2019, Pro Football Outsiders, 30th in adjusted games loss. In 2020, they were 27th in adjusted games loss. This is a team that is notoriously banged up all the time and doesn't seem to be able to find or can find the fix for it. And you mentioned Mike Williams. Like, he played most of the games last year, but he has a history of back issues. He's got the C6 in his neck that he fractured while at Clemson. Like, there's a long history there for him and for the Chargers. So if any of those guys get banged up, It's those two's chance to come up and make some plays for the Chargers. Kate, when we come back, we got 3 more takes from your six pack that is coming up next here on the SB Nation NFL Show. And we are back here on the SB Nation NFL Show. We are talking about the 2021 NFL Draft, the impact it could have on the fantasy world. I'm here with Kate Majuk, Clairvoyant Kate, breaking it down for you with 6 takes on what the draft did to the fantasy landscape. Let's get into take number 4. And I love this guy. Just a unicorn of a not really. Well, Kyle Pitts coming in kind of, you know, kind of changes that. The existence of Kelsey kind of changes that. But you know what I mean? I think he's a fantastic athlete. I think he's a really, really good player. Kate, the tight end position, it might get a little crowded at the top, and we might have a new person starting to get in those debates for like top 3 tight end in the NFL.
Oh, I think TJ Hockenson is a pure lock. If he's on the field, he's going to be a top four in the 2021 fantasy football season, if not top three. The Lions, when you look at their offense, it's bare bones. All right. Yeah. It's Jared Goff, DeAndre Swift, decent start there. And then the wide receiver core, Tyrell Williams, Breshad Perriman, and Quintez Cephas. And then, you know what? Surprisingly, the Lions did not make a move and they didn't make a huge play in the draft where they could have, you know, made an effort to get one of these top end guys. They did not. They came out, drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yeah. I hope I've been pronouncing that correctly. But he's 5'11", 197. He's not like a super, striking prospect, but he's got that early breakout age, which, you know, people love for indicative, fantasy performances. But, I mean, he's still a rookie wide receiver and we don't really have many other passing options. TJ Hockenson could easily see 120 targets on the season because who else are we going to pass it to? But Jared Goff, let's look at what he's done with the tight end position over the last 2 years. In the 2020 season, Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett, we know they were splitting snaps. Both of them involved as blockers, but together they combined for 122 targets, 938 receiving yards, 6 touchdowns. Going back to the 2019 season, combined for 149 targets, 1,142 receiving yards, and 5 touchdowns. Jared Goff, I think, is comfortable with the tight end. The issue was that Kyle Shanahan's scheme didn't really nail that into one specific guy. But TJ Hockenson is the guy. The only guy they have behind him is Darren Fells, who has not made any sort of major impact at the NFL level. Seriously, 120 targets is, I feel like, almost shortchanging him at this point.
Yeah, there is not a lot around him. And you look at, like, the other tight end, I think they just brought in Darren Fells, who has never had more than, well, only once in his career has had more than 21 catches in a year, known more as a blocking tight end. And TJ Hockenson, you don't have to take him off the field in running situations either, and because he's going to be great in the play action game for them, which is hopefully a big piece of what they try to do with Jared Goff, because he was so successful with it with the Rams. So I'm all in on TJ Hockenson. Who else should we be all in as a receiving threat? Because you look at the Titans and we talk about it like a not many options for the Lions. Well, the Titans kind of had their own issues with keeping talent in-house. Corey Davis is now gone. Jonnu Smith also gone. And that had a big impact on their production moving from 2020 to 2021. There is a void there, right, Kate?
There is a massive void. And we're looking at A.J. Brown, who obviously had a fantastic 2020 season, did a lot to establish him as a true wide receiver. One, he's averaging 17.4 yards per reception through his NFL career. He's had 19 touchdowns. And you know what? Think about the fact that as an NFL wide receiver, he's never had fewer than 1,000 receiving yards or 8 touchdowns. You love that. He does profile as the total dominant number one, but the losses there is what just makes me think that he's going to take his 106 targets from the 2020 season, and that is going to blossom into 140, 150 targets as I'm projecting the Titans right now. They lost Corey Davis, 92 targets, Jonnu Smith, 65, not to mention these like low-key losses of Adam Humphries, Khalif Raymond. All of these combined are 207 targets from the 2020 season gone. That is a 43% target share. So that's significant. And I do think that, with the fact that they didn't make a move in the draft, I was really hoping that they would go for Elijah Moore in the first. They didn't make that play. They didn't even address the position until round 6 with Racy McMath. There's no way in the world that I think they're going to be able to bring in another receiver that's going to, dominate to the level where we're going to see a drop in target share for A.J. Brown. I think he's easily the guy. And I'm going to liken it to, the way that we've just taken for granted that Davante Adams is going to get 150, 160 targets per season as just the only guy there, I think we're going to be able to apply that to AJ Brown very easily in the coming season.
What I love about Brown is that obviously he's got, you know, the size, speed, you know, all that stuff to be a downfield threat, but he does a lot of his damage after the catch. You know, in his rookie year, 8.9 yards after the catch per reception that he's picking up on his own. The next year, 6.2, which when you look at the different thresholds at PFF, you can see that that's second in the NFL for wide receivers for yards after the catch per reception.
And he's a monster. He's 6 foot, 226 pounds. Like that, I mean, yards after the catch, it's, you know, difficult because you're going against NFL corners who've, you know, maybe got 4.3 speed, but AJ Brown, he's 226 pounds and he's just, he's gone. He can force missed tackles. He's just so fun to watch. And we're going to see him get a lot of targets in 2021. And it's going to be good for your fantasy teams. I'm telling you, I will be drafting him as my wide receiver one in the 2021 season.
Yeah. And look, Yak can not be a sticky stat all the time. But when you watch Brown, you understand why those things are happening. And if, no matter what you thought of his projection to the NFL in college, you at least knew that after the catch, this dude was going to be a full grown deer running down the field. And that has definitely translated to the NFL. Let's go to another wide receiver that you're really, really high on here, because the Las Vegas Raiders signed a guy on the cheap. He's 31 years old, base salary of around 1.5 mil. I think he's a cap hit of 3.5 next year for them. But he brings a little bit of juice to that offense, and you think he could be a real highlight.
I think this guy has a chance to emerge as like the most productive wide receiver here in this group here. It's not a voluptuous group of wide receiver talent, but John Brown, I think he is going to be fantasy relevant in the 2021 season. And I just did a mock with the NFL fantasy broadcast, and guess what? I got him in the 14th round. He's just going to be such a massive value. I want to take you guys back to the 2020 season. All right. He finished as the wide receiver 20 in half PPR formats. I want you to take a guess where Stephon Diggs finished, because it was one spot behind John Brown, actually. Jeez. In his final year with the Vikings. Obviously, he had, there was some disgruntledness there with that situation. But Stephon Diggs, he finished one spot behind John Brown. And you might say, well, what about the points per game? They both played 15 games. John Brown averaged 12.3 fantasy points per game. Stephon Diggs averaged 12 fantasy points per game. Do I think he's set for like a wide receiver one performance at this point? No. But I want you guys to consider what Nelson Agholor was able to accomplish in that offense. I think despite the fact that none of us are huge fans of Derek Carr, he's actually, he did very well as a passer down the field. When he was willing to throw it deep, he was one of PFF's most highly graded passers on deep throws of 20 plus yards. That is John Brown's bread and butter. If he, passer rating of 117 down the field, that was his highest passer rating, anywhere, even behind the line of scrimmage, on the short passes, medium passes. No, he literally, He got this team as far as he did with the way he threw the deep ball, made a lot of big time throws. I think that, you know, if we see Mr. Carr continue in this trajectory with, the way he's been throwing the deep ball as efficiently as he has, John Brown is going to eat, and he's going to have weekly wide receiver two upside, and you're going to be able to get him on the cheap. And if you're in a dynasty league, you can throw pennies at the John Brown receiver manager, unless it's me, and walk away with a guy that you're going to be able to start on a weekly basis.
Look, I have a hard time believing anybody is going to be taking away deep targets away from speed demon Hunter Renfro. But I actually like Hunter Renfro. I don't know why I threw shade on him like that. But John Brown, Smokey Brown, Las Vegas Raiders, book it. Kate is saying he's good to go. He's going to bring you some value. Kate, That does it for our six pack of takes of how the NFL draft impacted the fantasy landscape. Any last words for the gentle listeners before we hit the old dusty trail?
Yeah, I think that we need to consider, and I want everybody out there who's in that process of going through the NFL draft and getting their takeaways from it, we need to remember that sometimes what the teams in the NFL draft don't walk away with is as powerful for and impactful for your fantasy teams as the players they actually drafted. So look at those voids, because sometimes I think that's where we're going to find a lot of value in these situations, in the guys like John Brown, because they just didn't bring any other wide receiver talent through the draft and it's a barren room. Look at those voids, and we're gonna win some fantasy leagues in 2021, and I'm so pumped for it.
Very nice. I can tell you one place where we don't have a void of talents. It's the SB Nation NFL show. Thank you for joining me here, Kate, for your six pack of takes. Thank you, gentle listeners, for joining us for the ride. We hope you got some value out of this, and we will catch you next time. Monday Football Monday, right around the corner. Enjoy your weekend. Go dominate. Have yourselves a day.